In the 8 months since Sandy made landfall, restore the shore has become the rallying cry on T-shirts, billboards, and bumper stickers for millions of New Jersey residents eager to return life back to normal. But amid the rush to rebuild, as New Jersey Public Radio's Scott Gurian reports, some environmentalists and planners think the state's taking the wrong approach.
All right. Good evening, everybody.
The day after Sandy made landfall, a visibly exhausted Governor Chris Christie stepped to the podium at the latest in a series of press briefings. He had just surveyed the damage, and now he shrugged his shoulders and shook his head in utter disbelief.
I just never thought I would see what I saw today, ever.
In the days that followed, he'd call the scene unthinkable and unfathomable. But according to multiple academic studies and government warnings, it shouldn't have come as a complete surprise. New Jersey Public Radio has examined several reports from Princeton University and the state's own Department of Environmental Protection that were issued over the past 30 years. All warned that the Jersey Shore was overbuilt and that a storm like Sandy would cause widespread destruction. Internal DEP documents had even recommended a strategic retreat from the water's edge, but that language disappeared after Governor Christie took control of the office in 2010.
It's a little unusual that for a state that is so vulnerable that we wouldn't be highlighting that.
Mark Moriello was the agency's commissioner from 2008 to 2010 and had worked at the department for three decades under governors from both parties. Since leaving, he says he's been disturbed seeing the leadership ranks being filled with people from the business, real estate, and banking industries.
I don't know any of them, so this isn't a personal criticism by any means, but when I look at folks who manage these important programs in an environmental agency, I really would look for folks who have some experience and background in that field which they're supposed to manage.
And without scientists in the most influential positions, Moriello is concerned the Christie administration may not fully understand the dangers of overdevelopment along the coast.
That's a ridiculous assertion.
DEP spokesman Larry Raganese says the goal of bringing in new leadership was to run the department more efficiently, like a corporation. He says lots of scientists still work there, and he says there's no truth to claims the department is unconcerned about coastal development in the aftermath of Sandy.
The folks who want to sit there in a university, in their office, and muse about what could be done, well, that's all well and good, and there's a place for that. But we had an obligation to move the state along, and the governor chose very clearly to rebuild, but to do it better.
Moriello fears that process has taken place too quickly, though. He thinks Sandy gave New Jersey a unique opportunity to refocus its development priorities and re-examine whether allowing construction in flood-prone areas is a good idea. That's a belief shared by dozens of environmental and planning organizations in the state. But the Jersey Shore holds an iconic place in the hearts and minds of generations of visitors and residents. And there are billions of dollars of real estate, tens of thousands of seasonal jobs, and a $19 billion tourism industry at stake. Shoretown mayors and residents like Judy Sorrow Trainer of Ortley Beach say they couldn't imagine simply moving away.
That is the very last thing we would want to do, and we would want to do everything we could first before we even considered selling. You know, that area has sentimental value to me. We are just, you know, gravitate toward the shore and the water. It's a lifestyle that if you're not into it, you won't understand it.
Even if coastal residents were willing to throw in the towel, the only way to get people to move away en masse would be to offer them buyouts. And given the price of oceanfront real estate in New Jersey, that's an expensive proposition. The federal Sandy aid has so far included $300 million for property acquisition, and the governor says more is on the way, but it's still a drop in the bucket.
Right now we're looking at an area that's finally getting cleaned up.
With little discussion about how to move development off the barrier islands, building higher and stronger continues to be the focus along much of the Jersey Shore.
Most of the buildings that were here were destroyed with the fire. The ones that weren't burnt were knocked off their foundations.
Jack Purvis from the New Jersey Society of Architects stands at the edge of a vacant 3-acre lot along Route 35 in Brick, New Jersey. He and his colleague Paul Barlow look out on the wreckage that remains of Camp Osborne, a neighborhood of 1920s-era bungalows that experienced severe flooding and a fire during Sandy, with close to 100 burning to the ground in this section alone.
Yeah, it's a beautiful spot. Got the bay on the one side and the ocean on the other. It's a nice place to live, nice place to have your kids in the summer.
Together, Purvis and Barlow have come up with a new design to replace the bungalows with a 90-unit condo complex. It would be built to current codes and raised on a platform a full 6 feet above the minimum height restrictions in FEMA's flood maps to resist future storms. Barlow predicts that 5 or 10 years from now, construction like this that's higher and stronger is what most development along the Jersey Shore will look like.
The reality is that the new construction is the wave of the future, and the old way we did things, we're not going to see that anymore. It's idealistic to say that it should be pristine and we shouldn't be building on a barrier island, but I think we're beyond that point. People need to live the best way they can, dealing with the forces of nature.
But while some shore residents are raising their homes so they could stay put along the coast, others are simply hoping for the best, keeping their fingers crossed that another storm like Sandy won't happen again. Just a few miles south is the Ocean Beach section of Toms River, a neighborhood with hundreds of tiny cottages that's fairly similar to what Camp Osborne was like before the storm. Fortunately for the residents here, Sandy's damage was much more modest. A few people have now raised their bungalows up on piers, but many, like Susan Fennis, aren't planning on making any changes.
My husband's more of a pessimist. I'm an optimist. And he says, yeah, maybe in 40 years, nothing will be here. And it could be true. But it's all this hype. You don't know who to believe. I mean, I know they say global warming and the storms are going to be worse. But, you know, what do they know? Do they really know that? No. So I'm just kind of, we're taking our chances.
Fennis's viewpoint echoes Governor Christie, who drives this debate from his bully pulpit. The governor says the question of whether climate change contributed to Sandy or could lead to future storms is esoteric, above his pay grade, and a product of the liberal media. Environmentalists say building stronger and smarter starts with planning for sea level rise and more frequent severe storms. But Jersey Shore residents like Fennis prefer to think of Sandy as a one-time event. She says it hasn't changed her view of living at the shore, and her neighbor on the next block agrees. You have to love the ocean, she says. If you love the ocean, then you want to stay. For WNYC, I'm Scott Gurian.